Praised be Jesus and Mary. I have to warn you, you probably will not hear anything about St. Nicholas if you read a modern life of St. Nicholas. Actually, the only ones I've seen, the hagiographers of today just tell us we cannot know anything at all about St. Nicholas. There are some stories that have trickled down, but they're not reliable. And you know, if something doesn't have the stamp of infallibility of the church upon it as being divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, people just don't want to hear it. But these stories of St. Nicholas were passed down for centuries, and one saint after another has sung the praises of St. Nicholas. St. John Chrysostom called him the glory of young men, the honor of the elderly, the splendor of priests, and the light of pontiffs. And St. Peter Damian added that the entire world was filled with his praises. You know, the church, in the collect of the old office, claims that God made known his nobility by an infinite number of miracles. And I'll mention a few of those as we continue. He was born during the third century and was the nephew of the Archbishop of Myra. He had lost his parents while still very young, but he had no desire for his rich inheritance. Gradually, he gave everything away he could, establishing dowries for the poor, maidens, and seeking out the needy, you know, wherever they could be found. His uncle, the Archbishop, was aware of his vocation, so he ordained him a priest and appointed him abbot of the monastery of Holy Sion near Myra. And while on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, he raised to life a sailor who had fallen from a mast during the voyage. He also prayed for the frightened passengers as a near fatal storm threatened their lives, and he calmed the seas. He visited St. Anthony of the Desert and healed many sick persons in Alexandria during a stopover in Egypt. On the death of the Archbishop of Myra, his uncle, he was elected to the vacant see. And immediately after the pontifical mass, he raised to life an infant who had fallen into a fire. When a persecution broke out under the Emperor Licinius, St. Nicholas was banished and kept in chains. And he suffered from severe mistreatment, but returned to his church when Constantine the Great defeated Licinius, putting an end to the persecutions of the church once and for all. St. Nicholas labored in his diocese to stop the worship of false gods, still practiced there as elsewhere. And with his own hands, he cut down a huge tree on the site of a sacrilegious cult who worshiped the goddess Diana. During a famine, his prayers multiplied the shipment of wheat, which he had ordered for the port of Myra, to such an extent that what would have sufficed for his people for only a few days was found to be sufficient for more than 2 years. And he rescued from death just before they were hanged, three men that were condemned by a judge who had been bribed. Throughout his life, he retained that bright and simple manners of his youth. No one could speak with him without finding themselves spiritually renewed. St. Nicholas was the special protector of the innocent and the wronged. He's usually represented at the side of a container in which a cruel butcher had concealed the bodies of three young persons whom he had killed, and he was intending on using them in his business, but they were restored to life by St. Nicholas. And this miracle story was reported by St. Bonaventure in a sermon. So at least I'm following the example of one more saint in relating all the gifts that St. Nicholas received from God. He rejoiced when God made known to him that the end of his own pilgrimage was near, and he returned to his monastery of Holy Zion, and after a short but intense fever, he died in the year 342, and he's the patron of school children, sailors, travelers, pilgrims, prisoners, and many others. And because of the Muslim invasion, his relics were taken by some sailors to Bari, Italy in 1087, where a church was built in their honor. And there, after 15 centuries, a liquid referred to as manna still flows from his bones and heals all kinds of illnesses. And you can still obtain that liquid today, the manna of St. Nicholas. He reminds us that those who enter heaven must become like little children whose greatest glory is their innocence. Two duties impose themselves upon Christians. First, either to preserve our innocence by prudent precautions, or to regain it by penance. And secondly, to love and shield that innocence in others.